Our scripture this morning will be from the book of Psalms, and we'll be reading Psalm 118, and it's on page 836 in your companion Bible. Okay, Psalm 118. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed about me, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees, they are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
I ask a question this morning to begin with. Are you holy? The word holy, what is involved in that word holy? In our daily conversations, the word holy does not occur except in slang terms like holy cow and a few other choice adjectives. We often use words like truth, just, justified, goodness, righteousness, but you don't find that word holy except a derogatory type of statement. Just doesn't show up. Yet it is an awe-inspiring word. There's something about it because it occurs in Scripture over and over and over again. And although we cannot make ourselves holy, it is the ultimate goal of the purpose and of the election of the elected and the redeemed to be holy in Christ. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles just to take a peek at that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And we begin to see the use of the word as it relates to the saints, as it relates to us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. If you look back in that same chapter, verse 1, where it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That word saints is actually the same word. It's actually the word holy. It's just translated saints because of the context of the verse. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So here we see members of the church being referred to as holy saints, holy, the purpose. There's something that with regard to that word holy as it relates to Christians. And our holiness, we will find this morning, is only possible by being sanctified by the finished work of Christ. Trying to be holy in your own self is like trying to pick yourself up with your own bootstraps. It's not really possible. So in order to better acquaint ourselves with the implications of the term, we must consider how Moses and the prophets, back in the Old Testament, how they were led to give Israel some idea of the meaning of the word holy. It goes clear back to that time. They were just out of Egypt, and with all of the gross idolatry that was taking place down in Egypt, it was really corrupt. They needed, that being the nation, Israel, they needed to understand their plight with regard to God's purpose and plan for them and what holy actually meant with regard to the nation. So there was two key ways that this condition of holiness was impressed upon the people of Israel. One, by the choice of the word from their language, which they would comprehend. And two, the repeated separation of land and people in God's plan. We'll see this separation of everything and what that has to do with holiness. First, we look at the word that occurs in the Hebrew and in the Greek as well. The word quodesh, quodesh in the Hebrew. The primary meaning of the word is separation or apartness. That's the basis of holy. Something separated or set apart. It's not necessarily something that's, you know, goody or doesn't have that connotation. It's set apart, separated. And the same thing is true in the New Testament. The equivalent of that word in the New Testament is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S in the Greek. Meaning the same, pretty much the same thing. Pure, sacred, separate, separated, holy. And these words are used in reference to various things throughout the Scripture. To name a few, God's divine activity is considered to be holy. It's separated because we can't do it, neither can anybody else. It's separated from everything else. It was holy. His name is said to be holy. His word is holy. We know a lot about his word being separated from everything else. It has a structure that no other writings in the history of man has. Shakespeare, no other writing has the structure that the Scripture has. So it's separated, it's set apart. The heavenly abode is said to be holy. It's separate. You can't get there on your own. The tabernacle and the temple and the furnishings were said to be holy. In fact, the tabernacle had the Holy of Holies. If you remember our lesson that we wrote, that we studied on the tabernacle itself and how there was an outer court and an inner court, and the Gentiles could only go into the outer court and the Jews went to the inner court, But then there was the Holy of Holies, which only the priest went into, separated. Everything there was separated, and it was holy. Jerusalem, considered to be holy. It's a city that's peculiar to any other city in the world. The sacrificial animals were holy. Well, they were separated because they were without blemish. They raised the lambs, and they only took those that had no blemish. They were separate. The anointing oil, any consecrated thing. In the tabernacle, when they built the furnishings and they built the tabernacle, God gave those artisans abilities that no one else had. And the furnishings, with all the gold inlay and all the things, the beautiful things that were made for that temple, were separate from anything else. They were considered to be holy items in the temple. The priest, we'll see, was set aside as something separate. Israel and their ceremonial worships were considered to be holy. All of these things are separated or set aside as holy in Scripture. These illustrate things that are set aside or separated and deemed holy by God as a result. So it's with the word, the language, that tells us. The second way that this condition of holiness was impressed upon Israel was the separation of things by God. And the first thing we want to look at is the land. There's five categories that we'll look at. First is the land. Turn to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. And go down to the 23rd verse in that 23rd chapter. And this is something that I kind of went over the top of my head for a long time. In that verse 20, in that chapter 25, verse 23, it says, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me." And he's talking about not the land of the earth. He's talking about the promised land. That's his. He's separated that for himself. "It is mine," he says. Sacred, holy. We see it in Isaiah chapter 14, page 949 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 2. "And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captives whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." Notice the land of the Lord. It's his. I don't care whether you are a Palestinian or what you are, the West Bank, whatever, it's his. When he told Abraham what it was and set the boundaries, that's his. It's mine. It's separate. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62. There's a lot of places that this is referred to. Just a couple here for our understanding. Chapter 62, verse 4. "Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hezbah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married." Married? To whom? The bride, to Israel. That's going to be their land. It's separated. The Lord promised it to them. It's his, but it's going to be separated to them. In Jeremiah chapter 2, turn over a few pages there to Jeremiah chapter 2. Verse 7. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Here again, he's referred to my land. And if you want to see how it's defiled, we don't need to go there, but go back and look at Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18 shows how the land was defiled by all the sexual things that went on with the giants and what is referred to in Noah's situation, the nakedness of the father, homosexual things. The land was defiled by those that were there before, and that was the Canaanites. That's where the angels looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair. That it was a, well, you read it for yourself. It's Leviticus chapter 18. He's referring to at being defiled. It's no surprise. Turn over to Zechariah chapter 2. It's on page 1283 in the Companion Bible. Zechariah, Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 12. I was right the first time. It's the next book over, Zechariah chapter 2. Well, they're right there together, you know. I see. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 12. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Shall inherit Judah, his portion of the Holy Land. So now there's a separation of not only the Holy Land itself and the Promised Land, but now he's choosing and separating Judah, which is a segment of the Holy Land. Again, we're seeing separation of the land in various ways, and they divided the land all up amongst themselves, and we won't go into that. But so the land is one way. The second way, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. And we'll see here where the separation continues. Verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. So here we're seeing the land separated. Now we're seeing he's chosen a people to be separated. A holy nation, a holy land, now a people. Turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Now therefore ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou speak unto the children of Israel. So here we're seeing this separation of a people, a land, a nation, and it goes even further. Turn to Numbers chapter 3, the book of Numbers chapter 3. And we're going to get to how this affects us eventually. Numbers chapter 3, beginning in the 5th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him, and they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle, the congregation, in charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest office, and a stranger that cometh nigh shall he put to death. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, And I beheld, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn of mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I howled out unto me the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am the Lord. So here he's setting apart a tribe. He's separating a land. He's separating a nation. He's separating a people. Now he's down to a tribe. And that tribe, look over in chapter 8, verse 14. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And the Levites were sprinkled, sanctified, shaven, laundered. I mean, they were set aside as his. Particularly where there was no plague, no leprosy, anything like that was to be even near the sanctuary of the temple. And only they were the ones that could go into the Holy of Holies. The fourth separation is found in Numbers chapter 18. If you jump over to the 18th chapter. Numbers chapter 18, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Aaron, Thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also, the tribe of Levi and the tribe of the father, bring thou with thee, and that they may be joined unto thee and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, and neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that they be no wrath any more among the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall I put to death. Only the priest could go behind the veil. Anyone else that went in there died. And they tried it. So you have not only a holy family, but you have this one person, this priest, that can go there. Here is a family is separated from the entire tribe that has been separated from a holy nation that is separated from the rest of the world, operating in a land that is separated from all others. Fifth, with all that separation and all of that holiness now, it's not enough. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And we're going to eventually get to us. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 6. Of the ninth chapter. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. After all this separation, purifying and eliminating and setting aside and making holy, the way into the holy of holy was not yet actually manifest. The priest was there, but there was still something that needed to be done, separated. Look at the verse 11 then of that ninth chapter. Verse 11, but Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Here we really and truly have separated the men from the boys. He went in once. The priest, the Levites, they had to go in continually to offer the blood sacrifice for the remission of sin. But here is separated the one priest who died once for all and offered and sacrificed his own blood. And this separation was a demonstration that no man can save himself or sanctify himself. Holiness comes through faith in Christ. All of this separation was done so that the nation of Israel could understand what holiness was eventually going to be in the life, the death, the resurrection, and the shed blood of Christ. What does that say to us? It says that you can't make yourself holy, but it also shows that Christians are set aside and separated for a purpose, and in this case, one that is heavenly rather than the kingdom which Christ came to set up through the nation of Israel. So, how do you separate yourself? Turn over to 2 Timothy. Back up a book or two there in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means not being able to restrain yourself sexually. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. From such separate yourself. The Christian should have a separated lifestyle. And while you can't, like I say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and make yourself holy, that can only come through the one priest. But you should be separated in your life from the world. And sometimes it's not a popular thing to walk a separate life because you're accused of being a goody two-shoes. You don't do this and you don't do that. But here it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Separate yourself from the world. A separated lifestyle. We see that in the book of Romans. Some of the same terminology in Romans chapter 1. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but beginning there in verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was man. I mean, here we're talking about homosexual activities. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them up over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, backbiters, whisperers, haters of God. Separate yourself from the world. A separated Christian lifestyle is what God expects from a Christian today. And yet you hear people all the time say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. But you know what? You never would recognize it by their life. The world should look at you and know that there's something different about this person. Holiness, separated for a purpose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We're grateful for the salvation we have in Christ. We're grateful that we have an understanding whereby we can walk worthy wherein we are called, separated from the world by our lifestyle. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.